On election day, California didn't just go to the left. We went past, we're west of Hawaii. we went so far away from where the rest of the country went. And it included where there was no tax proposal that went down. Everybody approved everything. $5 billion a year in new taxes. To talk to us about this is the executive director of the California Policy Center. Here is Ed Ring. Ed, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. And we certainly noted this the morning after the election. There was nothing that a special interest or a politician could dream up, no pet project that landed on the ballot at the state level or at the county or municipal level that we didn't say yes to.
That's pretty much true. We saw 94%. There were 193 local bond measures on the ballot that totaled $32 billion in borrowing, and 94% of them passed. Just the interest and principal payments on those, that'll be $2 billion a year right there, $2.1 billion a year. So we also saw 224 local tax increases, and 71% of those passed, which is about another $2 billion a year there. And then Prop 51 added $600 billion in payments on that $9 billion bond. And you add that all up, it's not quite. It's about $4.8 billion. Now, they figure the tobacco tax is, you know, I was just, when I made that total for this $5 billion number you hear is, that's if you don't smoke and if you're not rich. Now, if you smoke and you're rich, you know, Californians are going to be contributing about another $1.4 billion in the tobacco tax revenue, Prop 51. And the extension of the tax increase on incomes over $250,000, that's going to bring in, it's going to keep bringing in $6 billion. So the amount that voters actually affected in this election is almost $17 billion.
Does this include, because I know my buddy Joe Edmondson up there at the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy, the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority, he ran his election too. I think it was double F in my neck of the woods. And boy, did we get double F'd. You know, he keeps running these elections he just phones the county registrar and just puts something on the ballot that gives him millions of dollars in funds with nobody supervising it whatsoever. And he has these benefit assessment districts, which back in 1913, when the California Constitution was written, they had a sense of humor when they created this because they're called bad taxes, BAD, benefit assessment districts.
Yes.
And there's thousands of these things across the state of California.
Well, sure there are. You know, every 2 years and also during the primaries, there was about $6 billion in bonds that were approved by voters just last June in the primaries. So it really is more than once every 2 years they come forward. And there's hundreds of them. And it's cities, counties, and school districts, but it's also special districts which raise these funds. And we need some of this, of course.
Yeah, they were put in for a specific reason. And I'll give you an example of why we have benefit assessment districts, bad taxes. That the idea was that if there was a neighborhood that wanted streetlights, they could create a small... The idea was someone from Fresno is unlikely to ever benefit from this, but the people who live there will have a direct benefit, so they tax themselves in order to make some kind of public improvement or vector control, a mosquito abatement, things like that. Why tax somebody who lives in the desert to control a mosquito problem, in Venice or along the canals? So that was the idea. But what's happened is we've got these non-elected agencies like the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy and then a whole other agency that they created on their own called the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority, the MRCA. And I know your eyes are rolling into the back of your head like, oh, my God. And that's how they get away with it. It's so mind-numbingly dull and Byzantine that people just say, whatever, whatever. But they run election after election after election where they're putting taxes on homeowners and millions of dollars go into their hands, and nobody supervises it.
Well, it's really hard to supervise these smaller districts and even smaller cities and counties because typically once you get past the presidential name on the ticket and, you know, the governor, the senator, you might know your local congressperson, even Senate and Assembly races, there's very little name recognition. When you get down to the special districts or the court judges, people don't know who these candidates are. So the only campaign that's really ran is run by the unions that represent the public organizations that want to get their guy in there to run that organization, their person in there to run their organization. So there's a lot of attention to these, to managing the campaigns for these officials that run these small districts. But the attention is one-sided. It comes from the people that actually work in those districts and want to see more revenue.
We're talking with Ed Ring, Executive Director of California Policy Center, californiapolicycenter.org. Ed, we went through a period where California was literally flirting with bankruptcy. It was so bad at the end of the Schwarzenegger administration that one of his aides was actually at the library looking up as to whether or not California could renounce statehood and return to a territory, because then the debt could be absorbed by the federal government. I mean, that's insane. But the what's awful here is that with Jerry Brown, you know, pushing for the tax hikes that have now been extended far into the future, we've got a fake fiscal recovery, because they still have not addressed the fundamental unbalance, the unfunded pension liabilities that are so enormous that it sounds like we're making the number up when we report on it.
Doug, I want to give you some numbers that we came up with on that. We used some formulas provided by Moody's Investor Services. They're actually, if you understand how to use a spreadsheet, you can work these out yourself. But we looked at how much all of the pension funds in California collect and pay out each year together. They collected a couple of years ago, because we don't have last year's numbers, $30 billion from employers, and that would include the employee and the employer contributions into CalPERS and CalSTRS and so on. They collected $30 billion. They paid out $46 billion to pensioners, and the difference is made up, of course, by investment returns, but you have to figure out how much money is going to be in that fund to earn enough. You have to have a lot of assets to earn a lot of revenue. If you have a really good rate of return and you don't have enough assets, your fund will eventually go broke, and that's what people talk about when they say there's an unfunded liability. But the thing is, at a 7% rate of return per year, 7.5% rate of return per year, they should have collected $38 billion. They were $8 billion short. Now, CalPERS has already announced they're going to be more realistic. They're going to project that they can earn 6.5% per year in the coming years, which would mean, if that's going to be their new assumption on how much they can earn, they should have collected $52 billion last year, which means they're $22 billion short in terms of how much money they need to put into that those funds, all of them in California, each year to stay solvent in the long run. And at 5.5%, which is what private sector pension funds are required to keep their earnings projections down around there, they should have collected $67 billion. They're $37 billion short. So when you look at $16 billion in new taxes, what you have to understand is that's still not enough to pay the pension funds what they need to stay solvent.
Well, you know, there's the facts, and then there's the reality. And the reality is that our legislature doesn't seem to care, and what's more disturbing, the electorate doesn't seem to care. And I really believe, and we'll end on this note, Ed, that our fiscal problems in California are a lot like our drought problems, in that for a lot of people, until they turn on the faucet and no water comes out, just a pfft of dust comes flying out, they're not going to believe that there's actually a problem. And until we literally go belly up and they start to feel the pain of services that are shut off because they had to shut down the agency because they can't pay it anymore, or taxes get so high that they actually start taxing the people who keep voting for this stuff, you know, then I don't know that we're going to see any fiscal restraint. And it is scary to think that Jerry Brown is the voice of fiscal sanity in the state of California.
That is, because there's a two-thirds majority now of Democrats. Now, there are some business-friendly Democrats, so there's hope. But it's much easier since the election to pass new taxes, because you don't even need the governor's signature, let alone the votes from the people, to to pass taxes if you get a two-thirds majority in the state legislature.
I know. All right, Ed, thanks so much for coming on. CaliforniaPolicyCenter.org. Appreciate it.